Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Shir and Mishnayos. We're holding Maseches Avodah Zarah, Perek Bey's Mishnah Vav, and we're learning now currently Refuah Shleima for Refoil Naftali Moshe ben Rachel. Mishnah Vav, again, Perek Bey's Mishnah Vav and Avodah Zarah says, Ela Dvarim Shel Goyim Asurim. The following are items that from the non-Jews, they're Asur, one can't eat these items. Vein Isur and Isur Hana. However, the Isur is not Isur Hana, meaning to say there would be a way to benefit otherwise. You could sell the item, whatever it would be. Goyish milk that was milked by a non-Jew, and there was no Jew watching. So that's what we call nowadays, non-Chav Yisrael milk, not OED or anything. The pas, also the bread that they make, the shemen shelahen, and their oil. Now, that's one opinion. Rebbe obeys, hitir of a shemen. Rebbe and his based in, they matered the shemen, meaning not even an Isra to eat it. And we'll see what was going on in the Rav there, why first opinion said not, second opinion said yes. Ushlokos ukvashin shadarkan lasesu sochan yayin uchomets. Another item that, again, is usher to eat, however, it's not isser hana, is shlokos, which is cooked items. It's cooked items that the goyim make. Kvashim is pickled or preserved items. That those ones, I think is only going on the pickled items. They put wine or vinegar in them, then you have a problem. But tari is true. For tari is a type of fish that was cut up. We'll see why there was a problem eating that fish, but it's not Isra Hana. The tir she'ein ba dogo kilbis shotet as well. And so too, the brine of fish doesn't have the kilbis fish swimming in it. The chiluk is, we'll see, it's a type of grass or herb. The koret shel chiltis, and a koret shel chiltis also likely refers to another type of grass or sprouts, whatever it is. A stegback, the chiluk, is another fish, we'll see. This is a thing that's an herb. Umelach salkontis, and a certain type of salt. Again, all these things we'll see in the Rav to elaborate. Ha'elo asurin ve'eni asurin isurana. These are also asur and the isran isurana, and we're going to understand, I believe, from the Rav why the Mishnah is repeating itself now in the end. We just said that in the beginning, that the following things are an isur and not an isurana, and then we said that fact at the end. So let's see from the Rav here. First off, the Rav doesn't talk about the milk, but the idea that goyish milk, why is it a problem, fundamentally, is because we don't necessarily believe the goy that it's really cow's milk. Cow's milk in theory would be fine, but maybe pig milk or whatever it would be. The Rav jumps to the next case, a pas v'shemen, kol hani yisurin mishum chasnus. The reason this, is, all of these, now he's not talking about the milk, it seems, he's talking about the bread and the shemen. Those are because of chasnus, meaning to say if one shares goyish bread, buys his oil, whatever it be, may come to marry into their families. Well, pashanach tom hitira, however, they did allow regular goyish bakery bread, assuming it's kosher otherwise, avapasha balibatim lohutar. However, they did not allow your neighbor's bread, regular balabas, alohoche drachim v'shasa d'chak, only if people are traveling through, so not actually his neighbor, and v'shasa d'chak, they have nothing else to eat. The shemen, roish lo pashat yisura, what happened though? The oil, Chazal saw that the gezeira about the oil did not spread properly. People didn't grab onto that gezeira. They weren't able to keep it. And nimnu alav itiru. They took a vote and they matred it. Kinemasim al-sisim, that's the end of the Mishnah's part about this, that Revi's based in matred it. Ushlokus, kol davish and vashlo so hadnachim, anything cooked by non-Jews. So afilo vashlo so bekelush yisrael, even if he cooks it in the Jewish vessels. In front of a Jew. Shame the chush l'tarav is you're not worried in that case about a mixture of any asr food with a guli nachim and about goyish flavor in their pots they're cooking. Yeah, asru mishum bishuli nachim. Still, it's asr. It's called cooked food by an anju. Chush l'siyabo yisolab tchilosof. It's only asr if the Jew didn't help in the cooking process, neither in the beginning or end. If he did, then it's already called dishul yisol. Hello, asr mishum bishuli nachim al davar she'eino nachol kamo shuchai. And the items that are ushered in for goyish cooking that applies to are also limited. It has to be something that is not eaten raw. The olal shulchan malachim, that is fitting to go on the table of kings. The lapis bosapas, to dip their bread into. It's quite limited. If any of those tanayim, if any of those conditions are not met, you don't have a problem of bishuli nachim. What if you have pickled foods, preserved foods, that the way is in that process, they put in wine? So it's also, but not nisrano, the fish ain't tama yayin nikarbo. You don't actually recognize the wine that's in it. Avabchil osir, and there are other osir to eat. Now, it's not clear, I just pointed for myself anyway, if that one is still because of chasnus. Is it because of it before the yayin nesik problem, in which case, why is it nisrano? There's a bit of a middle ground they seem to make on this. Because of the wine, it's a problem, but not fully the yain nefer. So it's a bit unclear to me why they make that distinction in this case in particular. Torah chufa is min dagim tarim. A tarim is actually a totally kosher fish. Shetorfen so dak dak. They cut it very thin. Vein any karim. So you can't recognize, you know, that type of fish from these small pieces. You can't tell that's what it was. Fasurin kishenil tuchum yanachim. You can't eat it if it's bought from the goyim. Why? Shema nechta shima and dak tami. Maybe they ground up with it. They cut up with it. Another type of fish that was dak tami, a chafe fish. So this part, at least from this point onward in the list, is an issue of worried about trey food, actually. This is certainly not because of the potential of marriage that we spoke about before. B'tzish ein ba daga, what if you have brine that is not a particular type of fish? It doesn't have a dog cut in shenikr and kildis. It doesn't have that small fish that's called a kildis. A dark fishu, gadu b'soch tzir, shal dagim tarim. Generally, the kildis fish, which is not kosher, it seems, grows in a brine in a pool in a fish tank that really has in it other tahor fish, kosher fish. B'sheich tzir dag tami mu'ur avimo. Yeah, if this kilbis fish has another tummy fish with it, lo yigdal go kilbis. They don't grow a kilbis fish with it. So it seems interesting enough that this kilbis fish is no good. Yeah, and if so, therefore, what's our mission saying? If you have brine that doesn't have the kilbis fish, so then you have to worry that what did it have in it? Tummy fish, not kosher fish. And then the brine is no good. But if it had the kilbis fish in it, then you know they didn't put any tamei fish, and they dafka put kosher fish with it. So it's not clear to me if the kilbis itself is tahor or tamei, because anyways, you're not buying the kilbis fish, talking about the brine. But I guess if it was tamei, perhaps it'd be a problem because of the kilbis fish itself. So I'm not sure from the rav anyways. Chiluk, what's chiluk? Min dagim ketanim tarim, that's another small fish. They currently do not have the required fins and scales that kosher fish have. So what's the story? They will grow them, though. At this point, the fish has not developed them. But it's a kosher species because it will develop it. The dogim ketanim temeim hadomim lehem misarvim mayim ve'enim nikarim. Other chafe fish that look alike to this, they mix up with it, and you can't tell them apart. Afilu kishe'en atrufa, even when it's not cut up. So over here, you have a problem. Even when it's whole, you have an issue. Avotarius and the dogim temeim domim lehem. Before, with the tarius fish, there's only a problem when it was cut up, because no chafe fish looks so much like it. That's why it was mutter as long as it wasn't cut up. What's a chiltis? That's the Arabic name, interesting enough. The Mishnah is quoting an Arabic word. You cut up the pieces of the roots with a knife. And the goyim are going to cut with their goyish treif knives, right? The problem is not anything to do with this plant. Plants are fine, but there's fat from treif food on their knife. The agav charifusa the chiltis. What's going to happen? This plant is a chari food, a sharp food. As you all know, a sharp food, you have a problem of putting a fatty knife into a sharp food. It will transfer the taste from that knife into the food. And the way the Rav puts it, it will sweeten the flavor that's on that fat. And therefore, you have a problem with the transference of unkosher taste, and it's going to offer up this plant, this vegetable. Omelach Salt kuntis, melach shekol gedulei Rome ochanos. So this is the type of salt that apparently everybody who grows up in Rome knows about. They all eat it. Regilim shoach osa bechalav. Generally, interestingly enough, they mix it. They anoint it literally, but I think it means that they mix the salt with milk chazir, the milk of a pig, and with the fat of unkosher fish. Vehigaso levana biyosa. That makes it. I guess that's the process that they do. Makes it very thick. Makes it very white. So all that, for sure, again, the last part of the list over here was about actual non-kosher food, a worry of non-kosher food being mixed in with these things. And then maybe we can understand why the Mishnah repeats itself at the end by saying, again, that these are usher, but not isser ano. It's not isser ano. Treif food is not isser ano. Every kosher slaughterhouse that we know, all sorts of treif food comes out of there because of mistakes made in shechita or whatever it would be. If they discover that the animal's treif, they're able to sell it to a goyish slaughterhouse, a goyish butcher, whatever it would be. There's no problem to get hana from. They just can't eat it. As opposed to Basar B'cholov, we should mention Basar B'cholov is indeed an Israel. Says Mishnah Zayin, Eilu Mutar Machim, the following are totally mutter to eat, no problem at all. Cholov Shechol B'goy V'Yisrael Eilu. Milk that was milked by a goy, but the Jews stood over him and saw him. Badavash and honey. Badav Davonios. The Rabbi's going to bring two pshatim there. One is going to be a honeycomb, and the other one is going to be a eshkol of grapes, a cluster of grapes. We'll see from the Rav that. Alfal Pishim and Atfos, even though it's a dripping, so either pshat, the honeycomb or the grapes, Abraham Yishim Hechshe Mashke. That liquid, whatever the liquid would be, will not cause heksher to what it drips on and to the food itself. If it would be, it sounds like you'd have a problem. And if you have the type of processed or preserved foods that they do not put wine or vinegar in them, the tarish fish we mentioned that is not cut up. And any type of brine that does have fish in it, yeah, it's tam, it's okay. Is the ole shel chiltis, and the leaf of that chiltis food, we'll see, they essentially don't use a knife on it, so they have no problem. The zeisin gluskos amigugolim. Zeisin gluskos amigugolim means some sort of process that they did by cooking the olives that made them nice and fat. Rabbi Yossi omer hashluchim asurim. He says, hashluchim, which is going to be really, really soft, they cooked these olives this way and became very soft, they're going to be asur for a certain reason. Hachagavim abayim in aslula, grasshoppers that come from selula. Selula is going to be a type of basket, so we'll see why, but that makes them usher. In a haftik, but from the place where they prepare the food in the store, not the place that's up front in the basket, those are mutar. The chen l'truma, so too with truma. So what is going on over here? Says the Rav, if the goy is milking, he's milking a cow, and a Jew sees, he is indeed milking a cow. Didn't throw any pig milk in there. Yeah, lavdav gerei, doesn't really have to see him, the Rav says. If the situation is such that if the Jew would stand up, he's currently sitting, but if he would stand up, he could see that goy. Even though his current state of sitting, he doesn't see the goy. The goy will now be fearful. So the Jew can stand up in any second, he'll see me, so I'm afraid to mess around over here. Then we said, honey, it's kind of interesting. I don't know what the thought would be that honey would be a problem. I explain over here that there's no problem. Also, I guess it could be a havamina that Bishulin Nachim could apply to honey. But some, it doesn't seem, it's a bit of a palawai that would be in particular. It's something eaten raw, in general, so I think it doesn't meet that requirement, although there are honeys that they sell. It would go on Shulchan Malachim, so that part's good. And maybe a dip of bread in it. So I'm not sure if it makes the requirements. Perhaps it does. Maybe one would think it does, and that's the Kiddush over here. Dav Davanius, what are Dav Dananius? Hachalos Shirodim Min Hakavores Shibahem Advash. That means honeycombs that they take out of, or the pieces of honeycomb they take out of the beehive. Alvavi Shehem Notfos, Lochayshin Hashem Ir Behem Yain Nesach. Even though they're dripping, you're not aware that they put Yain Nesach in there. That's one pshat. Perish Acher, Ashkola Shanovim, actual clusters of grapes. Alvavi Shah Yain Notesan. There is certainly wine dripping off of them. Ebem Shom Yain Nesach. So we're not Yain Nesach. We're not aware about Yain Nesach, amazingly enough. And we don't have to worry about Heksha Mashke. You don't have to worry that it's Heksha Vatuma. It's going to get tummy. Stam, you want to eat those. You don't want the liquid to come out. Otherwise, the liquid coming out and making it wet is not something you want. And we know the cloud by Heksha Mashke has to be that it is desired that the item got wet, not that it happened against his will. So this is interesting. We had a previous mission that told us that the pips and the peels of grapes do have a problem because of Yai Nesich. They have that Gezerah. Seemingly, I guess that's, they were used already, so could be used for Yain Nesach. This is clearly not used. Brand new fresh grape. We don't have to worry about any Yain Nesach worry over here. The Taurus Shein Chufa, the Taurus fish not cut up. Ba'af al-pi, she'asuya chatichos, even though it is made out of pieces. Nishar, meaning cut it up, I guess, in bigger pieces. Nishar rosh adagu shadaso kayalim v'nikar shu'tar. You still have the head of the fish around. You still have its spine. So you can see that it's a tahar fish. You don't get it confused when it's cut up. When it's cut up, you get it confused with other tummy fish. That was the problem. The leaf of that chiltis plant, the ha lo masiku la b'sakin. You don't cut it up with a knife. So you had no problem with the fat on the knife with the chari food like we had before. The zeisim gluskos megugolim, zeisim hakunusim the kli agul. What they do is they take olives and they put them into this round kli. Imagine they heat it up and apparently these olives they get all huge. The nasim kegluskim megugolim kamal beitzim ogelish niskamimu. So I guess the same way that an egg gets boiled, that's the way this olive gets boiled. So that is fine. I guess the same thing is no worry that they put anything chafe in there. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, Rabbi Yossi says, Hashlochim asurim. Im yisrako zeisim kokach ad shekishilokech azayis biyodo hagarin shebesocho mishtaleach v'nof me'ela. If they get cooked to the point that they are so soft that we would handle it with your hand, the olive pit on the inside falls out by itself, asurim, then it's asur. The machmas hayayin nesrach, because that proves to you that they put some wine in here, so you have your regular old yayin nesach problem. Ben aloch rabbi yosef, it's not like that though. Then we said, if they take the type of grasshopper from the salula, asal shalifnei chavani, that's the basket that's on display. It's in the, right there in front of the store owner, he puts his best grasshoppers over there. So over there it's asurim. They actually put wine on it to soften it up. Looks good. Looks nice and soft. But if he takes from the haftik, over there, it's just the back. It's a stockpile of grasshoppers. They just throw it on top of each other. Yeah, that's my term. They don't put any wine on there. No one's looking back there. I should know some of the fun of the car. So they put it in front of the store in that table to be sold. That's when they put the wine on it. Bechem the truma. What's the chem the truma mean? Not related to a goy in particular. It's bechem kohen a chashur limkar truma l'shem chulin. You have a goy. You have a kohen, I should say. And he says, I'm selling chulin food. But we're worried about this guy. Maybe he's selling truma food. He sells truma, you disguise it as chulin, you can charge a lot more. Truma goes for cheap because only kohanim can eat it. So he has truma because he's a kohen. He receives this from everybody and he's selling this chulin. Yeah, kohen nesel the fun of us or anything that's in front, you get the store. Yeah, this kohen, Mr. Kohen, he sells that. He sells his dates and his grapes. So in the front of the store, were there anything in the front, right in front of him, is going to be usher. Shema trumahi. Maybe that's the truma. That's what he's trying to push. If he says, I got more in the back, in my stockpile, in the back, in the silo, that's mutter. Why? There are two semirtas. He's also fearful of grabbing some stuff from the back that he says it's cool and it's really truma. He won't do that. Why? Dilma shami rabbanu v'yaf giru kol ha'otzer. Because maybe the rabbi's going to hear that I pulled this trick back there in my otzer. I got $50,000 worth of good stuff back there. Then they make me mafkir it. So over here in the front of the store, it seems that he's willing to risk that. The rabbis find out, they'll just make him get rid of that amount. But he won't risk what's in the back. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll continue next time.